Well, good morning, Calvary Church family. Turn with me, Galatians chapter 5. This has just been such a fun series because Paul is talking to us about the gospel and how it is lived out. And frankly, he explains it to us. And for most people, this is a real revelation for some people. Because most people mistakenly have the idea that serving God and growing in Christ is based on your ability to keep rules. And it couldn't be any farther from that. People have this idea that there's certain rules that they have to keep, and you have to be really, really good in order to grow in Christ by keeping rules. And if you don't keep them very well, then guess what? You don't grow in Christ very well either. And so what we find and what Paul is trying to help the Galatian church understand is that it's all by faith. It's all by God's grace is how we grow. It's not by rule keeping. It's by what keeps us in a relationship with God, which brings us to a relationship with God, is all about placing our faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us. And as we do that, as we place our faith in Jesus, here's the beautiful part. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, transforms our hearts, and literally gives us a new heart so that we can comprehend God. We start to have a new heart, new mindsets, new desires, because salvation is not you or me trying to be a good moral person. That's not salvation. Salvation is not you and I trying to earn our way to heaven. Salvation is us coming to Christ and asking him to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And that's asking forgiveness for our sins. And when we place our faith in him to lead and save us, the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms our hearts. In fact, the Holy Spirit takes residence inside of our life. And that is that he lives in us and he begins to show us a whole new way to live, a whole new way to experience a relationship with God. I want you to capture this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work." See, here's the wonderful, wonderful thing, is that when God begins a work, he will complete it. When he begins to do a work in your life, guess what? He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop unless you choose to make him stop. You walk away, and even then, God, the Holy Spirit, will still be calling on you. And this is our challenge. One of the great parts is when he begins a work, he'll continue it. And it'll culminate on the day when the Lord Jesus appears in the twinkling of an eye, and we're all transformed. Or when you and I die, and we go right to the presence of the Lord. But until that day, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in us. And this is what Paul is making very, very clear. When you come to Galatians chapter 5, he's going to say it three different ways, three different times. Look at it in verse 16, and this is out of the ESV, and it says, "We will walk by the Spirit." See, there's a battle between what the Spirit wants to do in your life and what the flesh, our sinful selfishness, wants to do in our life. There's a battle. And Paul says that if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." One of the beautiful parts, when you're led by a Spirit, when you've committed your way by faith to trust Jesus and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide, one of the amazing parts is you're not bound to religious rules. Because the Holy Spirit will direct you what's right and what's wrong. You can go back to God's Word and just know what is right and wrong. How do you know that what you're hearing and what you're feeling is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? You can go right back to Scripture. That is our rule book. And God will direct us, and he'll give us a moral compass. And look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. "Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life." And this is the idea that when we get in step with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's going to do and what it wants to produce in our life, when we cooperate with the Spirit, God's purposes will become done in our life. So wonderful. So as we get to today, we're going to be looking through verses 23 through 26. And Paul had already given us, if you were here last week, we looked at Galatians chapter 5 and we saw a list of 15 sinful, selfish tendencies that lie within every human, but what Jesus broke on the cross for us. And so there's still this battle and these 15 things that the flesh produces, but now Paul starts to help us see the other side. He helps us begin to see 9 aspects of what the Spirit produces when we walk in the Spirit, when we're led by the Spirit, when we're letting the Spirit's leading into every part of our lives. We will start to watch the Holy Spirit produce aspects within us. And so what we find here is Paul begins to list out 9 fruit of the Spirit, or 9 virtues, if you will, that the Spirit produced. And as we approach this, I guess I want to say I don't feel like it's the end all of just limited to those 9 things, but it gives us the barometer. Paul's giving us the vision of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and so it helps us to know, to evaluate ourselves. Am I really having the Holy Spirit work in my life? And if you want to know, do I? Last week we even kind of looked at the fruits of the flesh, or the 15 aspects of the flesh, and you could kind of do a spiritual breath test. And guess what? On the positive side, we get to do a spiritual breath test today to evaluate ourselves. How am I doing in my walk with God? How am I doing following the Holy Spirit? And so Paul gives us some direction. So start off in verse 22. Look at it. But the Holy Spirit produces, and I'll even just stop there, because I want you to capture that this is not something you and I self-create. This is not what we can do in our own humanity. So this isn't positive moralism. This isn't motivationalism. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit itself can only do in our life. You and I are not capable in our own humanity of creating these types of things. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not plural, it's singular. And it gives these expressions of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what God produces. It's the production of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And let me caution you on this too. Because there's going to be some people that will go, well, okay, yeah, you can talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm more directed, I'm more leaning in on the gifts of the Spirit. I'd rather be more interested about the gifts of the Spirit than the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to say, that's the dumbest thing ever. And the reason I say that, and I don't mean to be crass, but because here's the part, is we need both. We should want both. We want to have the Spirit supernaturally, miraculously empowering us to do ministry. We want to have those purposes flowing through our lives in whatever way that He would desire to move in our life and to use us in. But we also want the Holy Spirit at work within us, growing us, producing in us a character, a fruit that is more like Christ. And so we want both. We want that power, which the gifts of the Spirit would really show. But then the fruit really begins to reflect the presence of Christ. We want both. It's kind of like apples and oranges. But here's the great part. You know, each one has their own taste, but you put them together in a salad, and hey, it's pretty good. And so when we put them together, having a life of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, we will watch us see a life, a supernatural life, and we'll watch the veil keep getting lifted of how much God wants to do in and through your life. And so we get to these 9 gifts that I've got to really go through, because you're going to start smelling the turkey and you're going like, dude, hurry up. No, I'm saying Galatians 22. Let's look at it. So the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love. So this is the word is agape, and it's the highest, it's the greatest form of love. I mean, this is not emotional driven love. This is not a sensual love. This is a love of a will. This is a love of service. This is really the love of God. And this is what God demonstrated for us. He demonstrated a clear picture of what this love is. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, before we had done anything to make ourselves more acceptable to God, God took the first step. God took the step to us. In fact, more than just one step, God took the whole directive step to come to us. He sent his son to die for us. God loved us. He reached out to us. He was seeking to meet our need. And that's what love does. One said this, that love is the accurate estimate and the adequate supply of another's need. And that's what God did. God knew our deep need. And the only way that he could adequately meet that need is by sending his son to die a death on a cross that he did not deserve. He did that for us because he wanted to demonstrate his love for us. Other scriptures lay this completely out. John chapter 15, 13, there is no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friend. And that's exactly how Jesus looked at that sacrifice that he made for us, was there was no greater way to be a demonstration of that love than what Jesus did by laying his life down for us. So powerful. See, he's the one who produces this love. You and I are the ones who yield ourselves to him. We present ourselves to him and say, God, have your way in my life. God, do exactly what you want to do in my life. And that's the part where Paul is encouraging the Galatian church to step into with the Holy Spirit. Be guided by the Spirit. Let the Spirit direct you. Because when you, by faith, give your life over to him because you're seeing this love on display, why would you want to go any other direction by being bound by a set of rules that would never get you to the intimacy with God that he had designed for you? Man, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. See, here's what I love about God, is he tells us what he needs you and I to do. And then he gives us the capacity to do it. And that's where a lot of people really fall short, is they capture this idea of the changes or work that God begins, that he wants to do in our life, but they don't emphasize enough because some points the size of it, the size of the change, maybe it's from the hold back, the disappointment, the junk from the past. And it's just like, it just seems so overwhelming. And they lose sight of the capacity that it's like God's going to reorder and rewrite your life story. And we don't emphasize enough the capacity that God has of his power to do the work in our life. Secondly, Galatians, in the second fruit is joy. But the Holy Spirit produces this fruit, love and joy. See, joy is a word used 70 times in the New Testament, and it's really a thrilling concept. And what we're talking about here is it's a joy that's not built by the conditions around you. It's not related to happenstance. The root word for that type of love would be luck. And that's not the joy that is being expressed in this passage here. The joy here is totally related more to the spiritual realities. It's not built on physical circumstances. It's joy based on spiritual realities. It's the reality that God loved us, that God cares for us, that God's watching over us, and that I have a relationship with God because his son died for me, and that God is going to do a work, even though things around me might look awful, it might be hard, and from my vantage point, you don't see the end. All you see is the tunnel. And even in spite of that, you can realize how great, how good our God is. And you just have a confidence, that a joy, that our God is going to ultimately work it out. See, in Christ, we have a sense of confidence that we can have that all things will work together for good for those that love him. And we are called to his purpose. It's a joy that we can have within our heart that I'm happy, I'm content. And you know what is so amazing about this joy is that when we allow that spirit work of joy to flood our hearts, it becomes a strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 is a great verse because here they are in the midst of completing the wall completely around Jerusalem. The physical work that also represents it really a spiritual reality of a nation turning their hearts to God. As that wall was being built, it's like they're putting a new guardrail around their hearts in how they were going to serve God into a deeper degree. And so there's parts, even in the midst of getting this wall, there's a dejection that we see here in verse 10. And I'll start off in the middle part of this verse. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because there's parts in the journey of everyday life that, you know what, you could be seeing God do a work, and yet you could still be dejected at the same point. And this is and Nehemiah is leading incredibly well this nation, and he's helping this team that's just completed an amazing aspect, and yet it's like, don't be dejected. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. And this is the part that I would just want to encourage you, because there's so many parts, so many believers miss this, is their joy is so built around happenstance or what's happening in their life. And I venture to say, if that's you, you're not a very strong believer. And the Lord wants you to get an anchor point that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. God wants to work that joy in your hearts. He wants you to help to understand the spiritual realities, that you have more joy that's capable in your life if you let the Spirit lead and guide and direct your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, you love him, and even though you've never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. See, that's one of the great things. When you look at the trust and the knowledge of the spiritual reality that our God will work it out to his good, to our good, when we love him and trust him, that spiritual reality will give us an inexpressible joy. We get a joy that goes deep into our heart. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart, down in my heart, I've got that joy, 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 down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. Hey, you're pretty good. That's doing pretty good. Stand up. Let's sing some joy this morning before we have turkey. Stand up. I want to hear you really sing this, all right, because this is joy, right? All right, I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Now I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Way to go! We've got joy today, right? You may be seated. Isn't that good? Got the joy of the Lord in our heart. And this is one of the wonderful parts is, now I'm out of breath, but when we have that confidence in the spiritual realities, we can have that joy in our heart. And it's more than just a childhood song. It's truth. Third, peace. And this is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And this is the idea we're talking about peace is we're not talking about peaceful surroundings, but we're not talking about peaceful situations. The root word here talks about binding together. And that's the idea of the Greek word here is that the things are as they should be. And this is a beautiful thing because when we're talking about walking with Christ and about the power of God, that in any and every circumstance, you and I can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Boy, there's a mic drop. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be anxious. In fact, Merriam-Webster tells us that that word anxious means you've got a divided mind. See, when we allow anxiousness to override our emotions and our mind, rather than focusing in on the truth of that God's in control of this, that joy that we just sung about, God's love that is all-encompassing, and that as much as he has dialed in on every aspect of our life, that's how much our God loves us, that when we come to this peace, regardless of what's happening around, we can have a peace that's anchoring us, giving us hope. It's amazing. Amen. Fourth, patience. See, patience we're talking about is so much more than a situational patience here. It's what we're talking about. Well, you know, let me give you an idea of situational patience. You're driving in Marinette, and you know when you're in that wrong lane. You know what I'm talking about? Because you have the ones that if you're in the wrong lane and you're stuck, next thing you know, you're going south on 41. Or you're in the wrong lane, everybody's turning across the traffic and you're stuck because everyone's got in the right lane and they're passing you and they're not going to let you in. And I'm not talking about that when it comes to this types of patience. And so what's amazing is this word here is having the power to retaliate, but not. And not even thinking of retaliating. And that's what this patience Greek word really conveys. And it's really amazing when you could retaliate, but you don't. Not because you're operating because of some great self-control, but it's because God's initiating it. Because God's leading it. And to be so much like Christ and so much of how God would, because here's the wonderful thing. God isn't thinking about retaliating. And too many people approach God and think that he's out to get you, that at every step, you misstep in one way, oh, God's got it out for me now. He's gonna, and so you're constantly walking around in this nervousness, and God wants you to have a peace that he's with you, and he doesn't even have a thought of retaliating. And I want you to capture this. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? See, here's the wonderful part. God, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our missteps. See, when we're walking in step with the Spirit, and again, we realize our salvation is not at risk when we sin in that way. Because when you have the direction right, the Holy Spirit will constantly, until we die, we have a sinful fleshly nature, as we learned last week, that when we keep things on short account, the Holy Spirit will convict us, and we make the surrender, the repentance, the turn, and we keep walking. And this is one of the wonderful part is to understand that God is patient, patient, patient with you. He doesn't seek to retaliate. He has the power to do so. He could wipe us off the planet, but that's not been his plan. His plan is to be patient so that all would turn to him. That even in your last moment, you would turn your heart in some fashion to realize his love that he has for you, and he is patient with you. It's such a wonderful aspect to know that you and I have a good God. And you know what? He wants to put his goodness, his kindness in our life. And that leads us to the fifth one, kindness. It's amazing. So if you think patience is that I will take anything that people might give out and I'll be patient with them, kindness is even something more, is I'll do anything for people's good. So even as people might be unkind, you're not only thinking of not retaliating, you're starting to think, how can I be kind to them? How can I even be kinder to them? The kindness of God is amazing when we start to dig into this. I mean, this type of kindness can heal a marriage. This type of kindness can heal political rifts in our culture today. This type of kindness will help us reach the hardest of hard hearts. We just need to be looking for the opportunities to be able to demonstrate his kindness, which again is going to happen not because we self-desire it, but we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in and through our life. D.L. Moody, a famous preacher, said this: the hardest thing for God to do is to make his children kind. Isn't that? Lord, help us as a church. See, and that's the part. People will hear us on issues. They'll know what we stand for on certain issues, but do they know what we live for? Somehow there has to be a balance of who we live for, and do people really know that? Can they see that, the fruit of that spirit demonstrated out, even how we have conversations and we talk with people? People know more of what we're against than what we're for. And that's got to change, and it does change with kindness. I mean, God can make people into preachers. God can make people into singers. And you know what? Guess what else he can do? He can make us kind. Lord, do that work. If this is the hardest thing you can do, then God, hit the rocks of stone here and help us to be kind. Sixth, goodness. Some translators would argue that this would be more understood in the terms of generosity, that there's a sense of generosity of character. There's a generosity that people who are good, and we're talking about people who are really good. You know, they're just good. You know, people like that, they're just good. Like, you're like, I never hear this person hardly say anything bad. They're just good. And like, you almost get cavities because they're so sweet of a person. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just good. And that's the goodness that our God is, and that's the goodness he wants us to have. Because what's so neat about people that have that in their life is they intuitively think the best of people. They talk the best of people. They do the best. They see something of the best in people. And they're trying to think good things. And that's what goodness does. And this is what God wants to do in our lives and our hearts. Next, faithfulness. Faithfulness. We could, man, this, you could talk loyalty as a way to understand this. And it's, you know, it's really somebody who just stays with it. And we're in a day in our society today that has very little understanding of this virtue. What faithfulness is. Our society today, how can I better myself? How can I get what I want? How can I? It's all I or me. That's their understanding of faithfulness, is what they can get out of it. So instead of the one-night stand, you know, it's how I can gratify myself. Instead of the one-night stand and saying that that's how I'm going to love you, see, what we're seeing is we're going to do the right things. And so it's a commitment to love for 50 years, be faithful, consistency of trustworthiness. And see, that's what God is. God is a God who's faithful. And I've been living in this verse this morning, Lamentations chapter 3, look at verse 22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. God's mercies on your life never stops. Take it to the bank. Some points people go, where is God in my situation? Where is God right now? And I will just tell you, he has been more than faithful. He's right by you. Turn. Trust him. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So here's the great thing. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be fresh mercies God wants to show and reveal in your life. There is a fresh, new, exciting dimensions he wants to express, and watch your eyes go, look at this. I see you. I get you. I love you. His mercies are new. This is one of the great things, is he's patient, he's true, he's faithful. And one of the amazing parts is, even when I'm looking at this, Jeremiah is writing this verse in the midst of, as he's saying, great is your faithfulness, he's writing this in the midst of a demolished Jerusalem. So what he physically can see is totally the opposite of what he speaks. Lord, help us, even in the midst of our darkest moments, to be walking in your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, so that we're speaking and walking with the right faith. Because that work that God will produce to help us walk through the darkest moments will be there if we let the fruit grow. Gentleness, verse 23 of Galatians 5. This is the idea of strength under control. That is the person who's under control. They're a gentle person. But you could translate this as humility or as being meek. And this idea is strength under control, to the point that, you know what, they're just going to accept God's working in their life. They're not chafing at the situation, but they're just hunkered in that God's going to help get me through. And that they're not reacting. They just know that, okay, God, you've got me in this situation. I don't know the whys. I don't know the hows you're going to do it. But God, I'm going to trust you. I love how Psalm 37, verse 23 says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And here's the wonderful part. He delights in every detail of our lives. He's not forgotten you. You're not forgotten by God. You've not been abandoned by him. God is watching over you, and he delights in every detail of your life. And I know some of you are going, well, he's got a strange way of showing me that. You should look at my life. Let me tell you my story, PK. Just let me go grab some turkey, and I'll bend your ear about it. Well, if you're saying that, here's my challenge to you on this today. Because if you accept the trials as they come, as a potential way of God developing you, of God growing you in grace and really, even in the midst of the dark points, to help conform us into the image of Christ, and that just know that the Holy Spirit's going to empower us to do the work in us to get us through, when you embrace that, your perspective completely changes. Because it's not about me, and that's the initial reaction. Why am I here? It's not about you. It's about him and his glory. And God is going to take every situation, every circumstance to bring glory to him. And he wants to do that in your life. But it's when we're walking in the Spirit. God, it's about your glory. It's about you doing your work in my life. Self-control. When we get to self-control, this is the ability to say no to the desires of the flesh and the ability to say yes to God's purposes in our life. See, when we begin to understand that it takes self-control to step out in faith. See, there's a part when we're walking by the Spirit, there's parts that we've got to do. We've got to take the step of faith. We've got to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in that, when we understand that through self-control, God helps us to take that strength, to trust him, that I'm going to step into the promise and the purposes of God by faith. When I step into that way, you're going to say no to myself, and you're going to say yes to all that God has. And you'll watch God reveal even more in amazing things in your life. You'll watch God produce these things in your life, these marks that we've been going through. You'll watch God work in your life like you've never seen before. So someone might be asking, so how do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh? And I'll just encourage you, go back and look at that list of 15 things. Look at these nine fruit of the Spirit, these nine virtues, and look at it. What's coming out of your life? What's the preponderance? Is it more of the flesh or is it more of the Spirit? And this can be really humbling. But just know that there's things God wants to put into your life to help you work and create a whole new life that he wants to do in and through you. He wants to do that in the life and the testimony of this church. That as we're individually doing it, trust me, that change will bring a corporate change to this church. And you'll watch the dimension of God's presence. You'll watch the reach and impact of this church reach this community that you would never have thought where it was ever possible. But it's all when you and I are led by the Holy Spirit and being willing to let the Holy Spirit work in our life. I want you to look at this interesting verse. Worship team, if you'd come. Verse 24, those who belong. Lost my spot. hit the wrong spot on my iPad. Horrible when that happens. I'm still scrolling. There we go. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. See, this is very interesting. For those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Let me take you back to Galatians chapter 2 when we learned about this last spring. Chapter 2, verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I now, even though I live in this life of the body of a flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is through the cross that you and I can have freedom in our life. God in his foreknowledge knew that those who would be his, he crucified us with Christ. He laid our sins on his Son and he nailed them there. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It says this, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. In other words, all the things of the past, you are not enslaved to have to keep repeating the story. It's not Groundhog Day over and over where you make progress and then wake up and you're back in the same mess again. When we have given our hearts and lives and we give to continue to walk in the Spirit, God will grow in us new work. But notice that, verse 24 again, those who belong to Christ Jesus. Then we go to verse 25. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So here's how it works. This is a military concept. Some of you might have served in the military and gone to boot camp. I remember when we got to go to Family Day and we watched our oldest son, Grant, in the boot camp, and they're marching in, coming across this field at Fort Benning in Georgia, and that's just, it's an amazing thing to watch. And that's the mentality, that's that persona here that is at work when we follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's us getting in sync and we're walking in rhythm with the Spirit. And what's fun too is it's just not us, we're part of a team here. We're part of a family. And we're all marching, we're all walking, we're in sync. We're watching God do a work in each other's life, and all of a sudden there's a joy, there's a strength, there's a confidence that when one's weak, when one falls, we pick them up. We don't laugh, we don't belittle, we pick them up and we're like, hey, we're in this together, let's go. It's that platoon mentality, and that's what Paul is like, why would you want to go back to what these false teachers are saying? When he's got, God wants to do an incredible work in your life, but let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives and watch what he'll produce. Watch this in verse 26. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So when we're in step with the Holy Spirit, Paul is writing to the Galatians and he's saying, listen, here's another way you can entirely live your life. There's an entirely new way when you're led by the Spirit. Are you provoking one another? No. When you're living and walking by the Spirit, are you conceited? No. Are you being there for one another? Oh, yeah. So are you doing that today? If you're in step with the Spirit, guess what? You won't be conceited. You won't be jealous for another. You'll be in it together to do this life with one another. One of the great opportunities to keep growing in this is this next weekend, Steps to Freedom. And I just encourage, if you haven't signed up, if you want to be a part of it, Friday night, Saturday, it's great at understanding some of the roots and how to make changes spiritually. And it'll help us to walk in sync like a platoon. And so it'll be a wonderful opportunity as we walk into that. And so I just encourage you that when we walk in this new work of the Spirit together. And this is the wonderful part of this book of Galatians, that when we're living by grace, being led by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, when we're walking like this platoon, this team, when one stumbles, we're all there. That's family. And that's why we have the sign by the front doors. It's not there just to be a nice design, but it's to say, welcome home. So if you feel like you've stumbled into this church today, we want you to know, welcome home. Welcome home to the grace of God who loves you, to a body of believers who's here with you and for you, because we're all on this journey. We're part of God's army, and we're out there to do this together, looking out for one another and letting the Holy Spirit lead and reign in our lives. It's what this building's about. It's what this church is about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we love your word. It's life. Lord, I thank you for what we've learned today, because you've helped us to know that you're creating in us a new work. If we walk with your Spirit, you will do a new work in our life. So, Father, I pray today that you would help us as your people to be more committed. In terms of staying in step with you, God, I pray, help us to love like you do. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to just be in step to your leading. And Father, I pray that in the result of that, may your fruit just grow in our life. That the fruit of that Spirit just go through our hearts and lives and come out into our words and our deeds, in our thoughts, in our dreams, in every aspect of our life. Father, we thank you for an amazing grace. You're an awesome God. And you will give us the things that your heart's desire. Father, I pray for those today that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, they want to see your work in their life, but they don't know how to get started. Lord, I pray you continue to draw them to you today. With every head bowed, eyes closed, I just ask this, if that's you today, you're like, I need to really get back into step with God, with the Holy Spirit. And if that's you today, it's rededicating our faith to him, our trust, walking in a relationship with him today. And if that's you and you want to take that step of faith, I just want you to look my direction. I want to pray with you. If that's you, I'm starting at my right, your left. If that's anyone, just look up, capture my eye. I'll pray with you in a moment. Is there anyone? Thank you. Thank you. If this is your heart desire, thank you. If this is your heart and desire, I want all of us to say this prayer. And if this is your desire, I want you to say this prayer with us, because this is faith being expressed in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, having your eyes on my life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, trying to do life my own way. By my rules, I turn my life to you, to your way. I trust you in faith. Be my leader and the Savior of my life. Transform me. Change my heart. Let me walk in step with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, I just encourage you, before you leave here today, there's a couple things you can do. There's a communication card that you can fill out that's a part of the bulletin, and you can check that. Let us know you prayed that prayer. There's the QR code in the seat back in front of you. You can see Pastor Stacy, Pastor Aaron, or myself, and just let us know that you prayed that prayer. Because here's one of the wonderful things is we want to help you grow in that new walk with the Lord. And it takes a step to crucify it. It's just what Jesus did on the cross. We continually now, Lord, I crucify those areas. Let your Spirit be at work in my life. And we want to walk with you. And so we just want to continue to help you walk in that special walk new relationship with the Lord. Well, would you stand with me this morning? And I just want us to close out with this song before we start our turkey luncheon. Come on. But I just want us to respond to this amazing work that God wants to do in and through us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're building in our lives and what you want to build in this church. Father, you're about building something new. God, I can't help but think of new hearts for new wine in Jesus' teaching. God, continue to give us new hearts for a new wine of your Spirit, a new working of your Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Father, may we walk in step with you to be there and in sync with one another and with you. Help us to be that church, God. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.